Today is January 31st, 1996. I am Delmer D. Zimmerman, a volunteer interviewer for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection, North Dakota State University Libraries in Fargo. And it's a pleasure to visit with Mrs. Maggie Zimmerman Eisenbeiss in Wishick, North Dakota. And at the outset, I'd like to note that Mrs. Eisenbeiss is my mother, and we're conducting the interview in her home. And we'll get right to the questions here. What is your name, your date of birth, and where were you born?
My name is Maggie Eisenbeiss. I was born July 27th, 1912, 4 miles east of Danzig, two-room house.
Okay, what is the name of your father, and in what village in South Russia did your family's family once live?
My father, Solomon Slinger, came from Krasleivendel, Russia. In 1980, he came to Ashley with a ship. They sailed to Detroit, Michigan. From Detroit, Michigan, they made the trip by train to Ashley, where his father was, Conrad Esslinger. They arrived by train, and they stayed there until the spring of 1999. Then another son was born, and they moved to a house 4 miles east of Danzig, and that's where I was born.
Okay, and your father's name was?
Solomon Esslinger.
Solomon. Okay, when and where did he die?
He died in 1943, January 10th, and was buried by the cemetery on his own church and his own land where he moved the church before.
And that was near?
That was near Danzig. That was near his home, about 2 miles north. And that's
where he's buried, then, near Danzig.
That was 1943, yes, January 10th.
Okay. What is the name of your mother, and in what village in Russia did your mother's family once live?
They lived in Friedenstal, South Russia.
And what was her name?
Carolina Salzer, daughter of Fred and Carolina Weissenberger. They had four children when they came to the United States. And the fifth, Willie, was born soon after.
When and where did she die?
She died at her home. February 17th, 1957, and she was buried at the same cemetery that my dad was born. That my dad was buried.
Okay. How many brothers and sisters did you have in your family?
There were 14 in all, 7 boys and 7 girls.
Can you give the names in the order of their birth?
Yeah.
Okay.
They are Pauline, then Jacob, Sam, Carrie, Willie, John, then myself, Maggie. Then there was a boy born, Conrad. He died at the age of 1 year old. And then is Fred, then Lydia, then Rose, Edwin, Emma, and Eugenia. That makes them all.
That should be 14, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any recollections of what your mother told you about the old country living in South Russia? Do you remember anything she said about the old country?
Yes, she remembered. She told the visitor on her. She would gladly go back if they'd have the money. She didn't like it here. She said if they'd have the money, they'd move back tomorrow. So that's all I knew from her that she was saying. She was homesick for her old friends.
Did you say anything about how it was, how they lived over there?
Well, they didn't say how they lived over there, but anyway, the four kids that they had, they helped along with the work already, so. They were very well pleased over there. I don't know what they liked about it, but.
So she liked it. She liked it so well that she would have gone back.
She would have gone back. That I remember, that she told me.
Yeah. Do you have any recollections of what your father told you about the old country, living in South Russia?
Me too. He was homesick for his. He had relatives over there. I don't know. He had a brother over there yet, and he said that he wouldn't mind going back again because everything was made cheap here, and they had to get along with their two-room house, and they had cow chips to cook their meals on and the breakfast in the morning, and that's all they had for breakfast here. They didn't have any money at that time.
Now, what did they do over there? Did they have they farmed over there?
I don't know what they did over there. That doesn't say.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember family stories about the ancestral German villages of South Russia? Did the family ever say anything about the early small towns over there?
Well, yeah, they talked about it there, but they liked it there. I don't know how it was, but it must be a nice country.
Do you remember the village names? Did they mention any village names?
Only those two, Friedenstahl and Grossliebendahl. That's where they came.
Friedenstahl and what?
Mm-hmm. And
Friedenstahl, where she was born, and
Grossliebendahl.
Grossliebendahl, mm-hmm. where he was born. Do you remember times when your ancestors wished they were back in the homeland? I guess that's, you probably answered that already.
Yeah, huh? That's. They would have liked to gone back again. They were homesick for the country and for the people there.
Did they ever talk about being homesick for the homeland? And you said they did.
They did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you recall your family receiving letters from the old country?
Yes, lots of them, and I had answer.
You had
yes,
answer?
Yes, I had answer. I was my father's, what do you call it?
Secretary, huh?
Secretary. Yes, I had a writer back.
Did your family wait for the news from the relatives who stayed in Russia? Were they anxious to find out?
They wrote letters back and forth. Yes, they were anxious. I don't remember what I wrote back, but anyway, I answered the letters.
So they were glad to write the letters, and they were glad to receive the letters.
That was when I was of age already, 11, 12 years old. I had to write letters for them.
Yeah. What language did you speak as a child?
We spoke the German language.
Do you know the name of the dialect?
Yeah, I wondered what was that dialect.
Well, there were different dialects that they had, but it was just German as far as you know.
It was just German, and plain German, not the German over there.
Not the High German.
The High German. They have the High German over there.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we learned German. We didn't know any other language until we went to school.
Yeah. What were some of your childhood chores that you enjoyed doing when you were a child? What were some of the chores you had?
Well, we had to help our parents. We had to pick cow chips for the morning breakfast and for the daily use. That's all we used. We didn't have a floor in our house. We had straw in there as a floor for many years, till I was old enough to remember. That was about 10, 11.
Which chores did you like to do?
Well, I had to help with anything. I mean, we had to do anything that we were asked for. They always had something to do, and we never complained about it.
Were there any chores that you didn't like to do? Didn't have any choice, huh?
No, we milked cows towards when we got old enough, and I say that food was scarce at that time. I often think of that when mother made some flammkuchen, they called in German. They just mixed flour with water and they fried them on the stove. On the stove. They had a cover. They didn't have a pan to put them in. They just fried them on there for breakfast.
If you didn't do the work that was expected of you, how were you disciplined? What happened if you...
He would never discipline us. They were good. They never disciplined us. No, they were good to us. To everyone that...
Well, you probably did all the work then, huh?
Well, we worked this week. As I say, we didn't have to scrub the floor. We took the straw and put fresh straw in. That was work to do every week they did that.
What was it like in your school?
Well, I don't know what the school was. Like other schools, I think, when we started school. I don't...
You remember the subjects you had? And
yeah, I started out with the first grade, but I can't remember my teacher. I know Harold Hetzler and Arnold Hetzler were two of them. They stayed for several years. And they were the postmasters on of Danzig. And they were good teachers. And Mrs. Ingen, she was a good teacher too. And I graduated at my eighth grade. I passed the eighth grade and I graduated in 1929 at the Ashley Courthouse. First graduation I think they had on there. There were eight graduates.
How many students were in your school?
Well, there were quite a few. We had about 16, 17, I think. Mm-hmm.
In all eight in grades? All eight grades.
All grades. Mm-hmm. First to eighth grades. Yeah. Yeah, there's one teacher to one school room. And
how much education do you have?
Just the eighth grade. That just passed the eighth grade. My father wanted me to go to high school and I didn't want to go away from home. No, I'm not going to stay in Ashley. He told me to stay in Ashley with those Scheibelis that he bought that house from. And they would have kept me for nothing if I would have went to school, but I turned it down and didn't go.
So you could be at home, huh?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to be
so home. You must have liked to work at home. What were there kids of other nationalities in your school?
No, not at that time.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. No. We're all alike.
Can you tell us a little bit about your playground experience that you did on the playground?
Oh, yeah, just as soon as they called for recess, we were on around the schoolhouse and we were on the house and we were hiding with each other and we played games. So we had a lot of fun.
You remember the games that you played?
Yeah, pom pom pull away, hide and go seek, and got the handkerchief. We had all kinds of games. We were hiding it from the school.
How did you get to and from the school?
Walked.
How far did you live from the school?
Well, over the field it was 1 mile.
And you walked every day?
Not quite a mile.
You walked every day?
Every day. We had to go in the blizzard and everything. Unless sometimes they picked us up with a sled. But most of the time we walked. We carried our lunch in a paper bag. We had syrup bread in there and that was soaked till noon and liver washed. What not, boiled eggs. And
so there was no hot lunch at that time?
No hot lunch at that time. No, we ate that lunch for days and days. The same most every day. We didn't have to change much.
Did you have playground equipment like merry-go-rounds or anything like that,
nothing,
or swings?
No, we just, on swings we had a rope on a tree. We put the rope on the tree and put a swing in there and then one at a time, swing what they wanted.
Did the boys play ball or the girls? Mm-hmm. Any ball,
there
softball?
There was a ball,
there
but
was
they
ball.
Didn't play any games like they did here.
Yeah.
No. Uh-huh.
Now, you mentioned some of the teachers. Have you got any other anything else you want to talk about teachers, about discipline and how tough they were?
No, they weren't tough.
They weren't?
They would explain. Well, they had to stand in the corner, but that was all, but it never hit me. I was a good friend of the teacher.
Yeah.
That was Arnold Hetzler and Harold Hetzler.
So teachers never hit students,
no,
but they did put them in the corner once in a while.
They put them in the corner, but they didn't hit them. No, I don't think so. But
now, this next question, I don't think you ever went to town school, did you?
No.
So there's no difference?
No, my sister went to Eugenia.
Do you know, she went to town school?
She went to town school.
Did she say anything? Was there a big difference between farm and town school, or was it pretty much the same?
Well, I was gone at that time already. I didn't hear how she liked it, but I guess all the urban, Jake's kids all went. There were four of them of those, I think, two boys and two girls that went to the same school. They went to town in Danzig. The school closed, that's where we went to.
Okay, we're going to switch now from education to religion. In what way was religion and the church an important part of your upbringing?
That was different than it's now. We drove, like, the weather was Sunday, we drove for the bobsled over to the neighbor. They had church in their house, to Dover's, on the farm. And that's what, they had meetings every night there. Wells picked us up with a big bobsled and horses, went over there. No matter how the weather was and how cold it was, they always went.
They didn't cancel because of a little cold weather or storms?
No, that was, and then soon then my dad and some other members, Dobler's and Wallace's, they bought a church from the Lutheran, church from Fredonia over there, and they moved it to my father's land. That's where the cemetery is now, and that's where they had church in there for many years. That was in 1956, I think, when they changed that, they went to Ashley Church, and this one closed up.
So how far did you have to go to church then, at first?
Oh, that was only a mile and a quarter. Yeah, I think.
Now, would you walk or take the sled or the trailer?
No, as long as we didn't have a car, we drove by sled and horses. And the minister came walking out from Ashley, that was Leaner and Fisher at that time. And
how far was that?
That was 8 miles.
And he walked?
He walked on Saturdays. Well, he caught a ride once in a while, but then they said the minister stayed overnight at our house and then went along up to church.
So you'd say religion and the church was very important?
More important than it's now.
More important
than
it's now.
Yeah, people went to church at that time, but now they don't go anymore. Yeah, that was when Dobler's had in their house. That was a small house, and 3-4 families got together at church every night. I can't see that. Walsh died so young. He 61 years old. He died yet there at that church.
In what language were church services and prayers?
Well, they were always German.
Always German.
Yes, we got a Bible verse every Sunday that we had to memorize until the next Sunday. And Dobler was our teacher, Dr. John Dobler. And he says, be sure that you know it next Sunday. And then he gave little prizes out for those that learned it. And those verses that you learned at that time, you still remember. Which they don't know nowadays no more. They could give anybody, like birthdays, they celebrated birthdays too. They had to give their donation of money as old as you were. You had to put it in a little cup. And they saved and they bought something for it.
That was one way of getting some money, yeah. Do you remember when the services or prayers switched to English?
Wasn't that in 1956? I don't remember. I think when...
So that was quite a bit later, huh?
When Dad was sick that year, I think that's when that really went into the English service, 1954.
So as long as you were with your parents, it was German all the time?
It was all the
time. Never English at that time?
Never English at that time.
Not until much, much later?
No, they had German services for the funerals and everything. But I think it came out in the 50s. It became more and more, they still had German. But
so, let's see, your parents, let's see, when were they alive at that time then? How did your parents feel about this change when they started talking English in church? Or weren't they alive at that time anymore?
They weren't alive in the 50s anymore.
Oh.
Well, what? 1957, my mother was, but she couldn't go to church anymore. She was in the wheelchair and she was home all the time. But I think that's the years that I've wondered already when it was, but which ministry did we have there?
Okay, what did baptism and confirmation mean to you?
Baptism was nice, yeah. I wasn't confirmed. I learned for confirmation and everything, but I don't know, the minister went away that spring and then there was no confirmation and I never was confirmed. The rest were all confirmed. But baptism was nice. That was, where was that? That was the Wishy Baptist Church here in the basement. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was in 1942.
Were there any special festivities relating to baptism or confirmation? Now you say you weren't confirmed. How about baptism? Was that a special occasion there?
That was a special occasion. Yeah, there were 38, I think, that were baptized that Sunday.
Yeah. Was there framing of the certificates? Were the certificates of baptism framed?
I think it should have been, but we didn't think that far. I don't know. I haven't got it.
Were your parents and grandparents involved in the founding or the joining another church? Were your parents?
Well, they were Lutherans from when they came over here, and then they changed to the Chalaro Church. That's where they started that new church in the homeland. They changed to the Chalaro.
Now, why, do you remember why they changed?
No, I don't remember why, but I suppose there were other churches they thought they, I don't know whose idea that was.
Yeah. And then you said from Lutheran to?
To Evangelical.
Evangelical.
Uh-huh.
And then later on you became?
Baptist,
yeah. Okay, how did your family deal with death? When somebody died, how did they handle that?
Well, Dad was the first one that died. We knew he was quite sick. We were glad that he did. I mean, the way he lost he was sugar diabetic and his feet fell off from the knee on, and so I think everybody was glad that my mother took care of him as long as she could. He died at home in his bed. I remember the morning yet when they called, when he died.
What did they do then? After he died?
That's another thing. There was no undertaker at that time. Well, Nikish was the undertaker, but they didn't involve him at that time.
Didn't involve
him? No. They came to the home and did everything ready, and they sent the home till the funeral was.
So he was in the home?
Mm-hmm. Where they put that stuff all, I don't know.
How did the people grieve? Was it, well, you already said, you know, they were kind of happy that he passed away.
Glad that he passed away, yes.
So they didn't really grieve.
He wasn't old. He was only 65, not quite. So.
How about if somebody died unexpectedly, how did they handle that?
Well, I suppose that would be something different again, but they say if he dies fast, that's better than suffer that long.
How about funeral songs? What kind of songs did they sing at that time?
Oh, I don't remember what that the heck. Reverend Kuch, I know, and Reverend Strutz from Bismarck held the funeral service. So Kuch, he spoke in English. That's
at that
that's
time.
Where that started. That started in 40 already, I think. He was a young minister, and Reverend Strutz was the old. He was the district superintendent from Bismarck. He came down, and he preached sermon.
Are you familiar with wrought iron crosses as grave markers?
Uh-huh.
Do they have that?
They had that.
They had that. Do these...
Put them in each corner. Well, at that time, I think it was only a marker that they put the name on. And then later on, they put the tombstone.
Well, how about wrought iron crosses, though? Did they have iron crosses?
Have any, right? maybe that's the church.
So your family didn't have a special design for a grave marker? Just the corner stones and then the tombstone?
That's all I remember. I don't think that they have.
Does your family have any heirlooms and objects of sentimental value that has been handed down? Something that's been in the family for years and years that has been handed down that you know of?
Well, what do you mean now? That's...
Well, was there anything like tapestry or jewelry or something like that? Anything that they might have had or...
Well, that my father had, I know that the boys, they took some of his things that when he died.
Like what kind of things?
Like hardware things out in the barn or something.
Oh, and tools
like that.
And things like that, yeah.
Things.
Yeah.
But
nothing that...
Well, yeah, when mother died, then we got some things, but when dad died, we didn't.
You still have something from your mother?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to save it, too.
Yeah? Like what now?
I have a white bedspread, one of the earliest bedspreads that I sling in the drawer. I don't know who I should give it to.
Anything
but
else?
But still that one's a shawl, I think I saved from that, yeah. Two or three shawls I have from her.
So you did have, like, shawls,
mm-hmm,
and bedspreads and
scarves,
things like that?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that spread, I don't know. That was the first bedspread mother had, I think.
Yeah. Are there any stories connected with that, or like with the bedspread, any story connected with that, or just that she had it and now and you gave it to you and now you want to hand it?
I took it. I don't know. They didn't give it to me.
I think
I just took it. I figured the rest that were around there were some at home yet. They got more than I did. But I took some things that I wanted. Not too many, just have something up.
So the next question here is, who are the keepers of the family treasures? So you really don't, they never really had any single thing that somebody kept and said, this is what the family has and they're giving it on.
No, is that what that means?
Yeah.
No, I don't think. Each got their share, I don't think.
Everybody got a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How was Christmas celebrated in your family?
Well, it was different than to now. It was, had a Christmas tree with wax candles on there and lighted them Christmas night. Had a watch so the tree don't catch any fire. And that's about all. But Christmas presents like now, we didn't have. We got our package of popcorn in a bag, an apple and oranges and a few peanuts. That's about all. But as gifts, I can't remember that we exchanged
gifts. No exchange of gifts or anything?
No. Not at that time. Later on, I suppose, we did. But
do you remember some of the Christmases during the war years or the Depression?
There wasn't any different then. I think we still had candles. I remember, I don't know how long we've got them in church already now, but we had candles in church yet in the Christmas tree. And then somebody had to watch every candle that it wouldn't catch fire, as long as the program was.
Do you know anything about Belzenickel and the Christ candle? Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Not really. What
is
Belzenickel? Oh, that's Santa Claus.
That's the Santa Claus, yeah. And Christkindle, that meant that something to eat. That's what they called it, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, it was way different.
That was important, huh?
Well, that was at that time. I mean, everybody was glad. Got new dresses for Christmas, and that was something to show off, which we never did. We never got new clothes. We had to wear... For school, we wore the same dress all the time. Mother had to wash it out.
So Christmas was a pretty happy time.
Yeah, that for Easter and for Christmas, that's what we...
Okay, that's the next question now. What were the Easter activities?
Oh,
what were
Easter
some things you did for Easter?
That was Douglas, same thing, got a nice Easter little dress, and they gave programs once in a while, and had to say a little line of everything. It was nice, I think they celebrated. Those holidays meant much more than they do now. They used to celebrate Easter Monday every year, they just as much as Easter Sunday. Now they don't celebrate any. There's two holidays during the week that our church don't care for no more. They had church on every single day that was a holiday, and they kept it too. But it usually rained on that, on those days at that time. It was funny. But now they don't celebrate all the birthdays.
But Easter was very important, huh?
Easter and Christmas and all the holidays were important that they celebrate. And they didn't work either. They could early work, I mean, like Easter Sunday, Easter Saturday, that meant a lot. They could early, got ready for Sunday. But now it's different.
What was special about marriage ceremonies?
Well, nothing. Got married and sat on the wagon and went home. We didn't have, I was married, my sister was married in the home too. And we had noodle soup for dinner. And then we got ready and went to the farm home south of Blair.
That's the next question. Yeah. Was there a reception held in your home?
Well, yeah, they had a dinner fixed, but only the family. Not anybody invited, no. No, my wedding dress, I still got it in there, $12. It'll be le message. Forget everyone's a comfort. I still have it. No, we didn't have anything.
You gonna show it to her sometime?
Well, yeah, the things need to drop. But
was it the custom to have accordion music and dancing?
Mm-hmm. A lot of them had that.
Did you?
No, we didn't have nothing. No, we didn't have nothing. No, that was just the marriage, and Reverend Newtafashion was the pastor, and that was all. That was the marriage, and then we ate the dinner, and then we sat on the wagon and went home. We took the stuff along. That was 14 miles from there, maybe. I don't know.
So the next question is, how long did the wedding festivities last? 1, 2, or 3 days? So that in your church it was pretty short then, huh?
Oh, well, that was short, yeah. That was just about a few minutes when here at the marriage service.
Did they sing any German wedding songs that you can remember?
No, they didn't. They didn't have a song at all.
They didn't have a song at all?
No, we had accordion players in the bunch. John, he could play the mouth harp, and Sam could play the accordion. Sam was a good accordion.
Did they play it, though, for your wedding?
No, they didn't play it.
Did they have shiveries?
No, we didn't have any at that time.
I think you probably mentioned this already. What kind of foods were served at the wedding?
Yeah, noodle soup was the main dish, and chicken, and I suppose everything that went with, so.
Did you have a wedding cake?
Yeah, the cake was baked, yeah. I don't know who baked it.
Do you have any Hochzeit schnapps or homemade beer?
No, we didn't have anything to drink at that time. Yeah, they used to have extra kuchen for weddings too at that time, that they make Hochzeit kuchen.
Where did the bridal clothes and the decorations and the flowers, or were the bridal clothes, decorations and flowers made by the family? Now, the dress you said you bought for $12.
We didn't have any flowers. No,
no flowers? No. How about decorations?
I don't think it was decorated. No, we didn't decorate. But most of the family make their own.
Okay, next question now is, how did you meet? Some of the family stories of lost love, jilted brides, unusual courtships, lonely hearts club, arranged marriages. How did you meet?
We met at the Dobler House. There's where bunch of the young people gather on Sunday nights. That's where I met Reuben.
So you just got together as groups and...
Just, I think, went together 7 years.
How far, you said at the Dobler House, how far was that from where you lived?
Well, across the lake, it was about a mile, a little more than a mile. In wintertime, we could walk across, but in summertime, it was...
You had to go around the lake.
Well, we got a car in 1920, I think. He had an old Model T, so that was older than 1920, I don't know.
Now, what kinds of occasions were available to meet your spouse? So that was just family gatherings, or...?
No, that was just young people gatherings.
Young people.
More families came there. The Johnsons from up north, and then there were the Zimmermans. Art Zimmerman came down there. And they had kids. They had a bunch of kids at over. So we all got to have that house, play games. And I don't know what that game was. You had to sit on each other's lap. They'd exchange. I don't know what they called it.
What kind of work did women have to do outside?
Well, we did anything as the men did. I had a plow at the Salty Plow, three horses in spring. I was 11 or 12 years old, I think. Yeah, helped along with anything. Milked the cows in the evening, came home. Had 30 cows to milk.
So there was a lot of work the women had to do.
A lot of work.
Do you remember the special German foods that your mother cooked or baked?
Mm-hmm.
What were some of them?
Well.
What were some of them?
There were strudels and dumplings and Käsknäpfle, other Knäpfle.
Any others?
That's what. Käsknäpfle and salad and Kuchen. And Blachenda, and we had lots of dough meals, yeah. But they were cheap, and they could afford making them, and with a big family, you had to save money at that time.
Are German foods still prepared in your kitchen, such as breads and strudels and kuchen?
Breads are still prepared in my kitchen, yes. I made some bread yesterday, and I made some Knäpfle the other day, and I made that sour sweet potato salad. Everything good.
Was there music or entertainment in your home?
Well, as I say, that my brother played accordion, that he played often, and John played the mouth organ. He could play it real good. Yeah, that was the only ones. My dad used to sing songs as long. When we built the new house in 1929, Eugenia was just a small girl. He had her up in his shoulders, and there he walked around the house and sang German church songs. So.
Were you ever encouraged to play an instrument?
No, I've never did. No.
So were you encouraged to learn on your own or take lessons?
No, I've never.
Did you ever learn how to dance?
No, I never. My parents didn't let us go to dances. No, we couldn't go. Oh.
Okay, were children permitted to stay with the adults when parents had company?
No. Why is that? I think they have the right to know what we're talking about.
So they didn't let you? When they had company?
We had to stay down in the basement, they went upstairs. They had their own company. Well, I don't know. I think we didn't want to either.
Yeah. But if you could sing, could you sing from one of the songs you sang as a child? Can you sing a song?
Sherman. Gott ist die Liebe. No, I couldn't sing without. There was another little German. Oh, I don't know. Lusty. Kindlein zu mir kommen. That was a German song.
Can you sing it?
Oh, let's see. No, I can't sing.
Okay. What was the attitude of the older generation towards dance halls? You probably answered some of that already.
Yeah, well, they didn't like the dances at all. No. We had music. We slept over in the barn during summertime, the boys. They slept over in the barn upstairs on Sunday night. Art and Rube and those came down the barn upstairs. They had accordion music up there. Then he came over there and stopped them. He says, "We don't want to have any music or dance here." So
they were against that.
Yeah.
Did you ever attend any barn dances?
We were once at the Brickman's dance, yeah. They used to have the barn dance the other night.
But you didn't make a practice of doing that?
No, not if they found out that.
Yeah. Was there a community meeting place for young people at that time?
No, we only met at the homes.
Just at the homes, and then
there was no place like they have now that they could go to. No, we met once on our house and barn, and then at Dobler's again, and then at Johnson's where they had the accordion music. Yeah, they had.
Now, did they have meetings sometimes at the homes? I think earlier you said that they were sometimes at church meetings in the homes. Any other kind of meetings? Nothing that you can remember, huh?
Not that I remember. Yeah. They had church meetings, but I can't remember that they had other meeting. That when the school burned down, that was when I was married already.
You probably mentioned some of this earlier too. Do you remember or recall any of the games you played as a child?
Well, that's for the school games, I think. No, I can't remember. Drop the handkerchief. I know that was a good one all the time.
Yeah, and you mentioned hide and go seek, I guess, earlier.
Hide and go seek. Yeah. Pump, pump, pull away, and I don't know.
Were there any stories or fairy tales that you heard?
I suppose, but I can't remember that. That's something that that I never was good at. Tell a story in school. No, I never could tell a story. I couldn't make one up. So.
Were your parents and grandparents superstitious about certain aspects of life? Did they believe in a boogeyman or hooting owls or walking under ladders? Or
they said when a cat is crossing the street, it would cause an accident to the people that night.
If a black cat crosses
black
the street?
Black cat crossed the street. And next was mosquitoes.
Nachrup. Did they talk about Nachrups?
Nachrup, yeah, I believed in that.
What was that supposed to have been?
Well, there were people coming in that would scare you, I think. Yeah,
Did they use that to scare the kids, or?
I think.
Do you think so?
If you don't go to bed, you can't knock it up, cause I think that was the saying.
Anything else? How about Boogeyman?
Boogeyman, I don't remember what he does. I have no idea.
Did it say anything like walking about walking under ladders or anything?
Is that, walking up about the ladders?
Well, sometimes if you're superstitious, people walk under ladders. Yeah.
You walk on the roof, that some go out and walk on the roof and they have a dream or so. Some did that already.
Some did that?
I know, yes. That one day. Have dreams, they walk on the roof and they walk on the edge and they don't fall down.
Did that happen a lot, do you know?
No.
But they believed that.
But they believed that at that time.
Can you identify specific healing techniques that were used? Like if somebody was sick, did they, anything special healing?
Yeah, we did that, and we did that for the kids when you were sick when you were small.
Like what though?
They tied a Bible verse and had a little piece of paper. They wrapped it up and put a string up the neck, and you had to wear it 3 or 4 weeks.
and you cut oil.
What did that cure? Anything, or?
I don't know, you, when you were small, you got convulsions, I think it was for convulsions. And when they had that navel, when it came out, they put the quarter, and they wrapped up a quarter and kicked it on there. Had to stay on there so many weeks.
And that was supposed to heal it?
That's supposed to heal it, and it stayed in.
Hmm.
That I did, that I know.
That you did, huh?
Uh-huh.
How did your family feel about brow or folk medicine?
Oh, well, I feel good about that. I think those old women knew more than the doctor did at those early years. I think, well, I would have never gotten well after Bob was born there. I was in the hospital for 12 days in Eureka, and they didn't do anything. They sent me home. Then I had to go and look for myself. Then it says, all I can know, we go to Mrs. Folk to wish it. She was an old lady at that time. She says, how can you live like that? You've tonsils and they draw pus and you swallow every time they open up, they close and they open up and you swallow that, and that caused the blood poison. That's all I had at that time.
So what did she do for it then?
She told them to take the tonsils out. So I went to a doctor at Cullum and had my tonsils removed. Right away. That was in 1935. She told me that, but she didn't do anything. She didn't do anything. She just found that that
she
was
found
the
that.
Trouble. And I had to come back for treatments later on.
With her?
Uh-huh. She could drop my whole body. And when she did that, she always was talking with the Bible verse. She always had a Bible verse to say.
She always used that as a...
As
yeah.
the medicine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else about Brauging?
Well, she could help for anything.
Yeah.
No matter what people came for, she did. And she did in her own words. She didn't use any medicine or nothing.
How about, wasn't there a guy south of Lair one time that browed for...
That was called a Brauging.
For ringworms and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know Bobby had a big ringworm in between, and I told him to go out. And he says he has to have them there. He